Ganesh Cheesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The Sharing Our Knowledge Conference in Wrangell is now over, that gathering of tribes, clans, and people who just want to know more about the history, language, and cultures of Southeast Alaska Natives. But all of the presentations that were heard in Wrangell last week were web-streamed, and the recordings now live online. It has become a treasure house of knowledge. And joining me now to talk about the legacy of the Sharing Our Knowledge Conference, three people who helped organize it: Jocelyn Estes, who wears another hat. She's a longtime journalist and correspondent for Indian Country Today. Peter Metcalf, who has helped to bring this conference together from its earliest days. And Jim LaBelle, a Native boarding school survivor who also taught Alaska Native Studies at the University of Alaska Anchorage currently. He's the first Vice President of the National Native Boarding School and Healing Coalition. So, Peter, I would like to start off with you, if we can. You've been helping to put these gatherings on for years now. So I'm curious, how did this one in Wrangell compare to some of the others that you've helped put together?
We all heard several people comment to us that it was the best conference they ever attended, ever. And I think that was because, I joined that observation. It was certainly, in my opinion, the best conference we've put on, largely because we had a great mix of the events outside the conference and then really good presentations, and we were able to broadcast everything live stream, and by in the act of doing so, we left a permanent record on our website of each presentation, and it was kind of dazzling to me, the level of complexity that was involved.
But it was like a three-ring circus. And I do want to point out that, just for disclosure here, that KTOO did have the contract to put this conference on. And of course, we have an amazing staff.
Trust me.
I was just so surprised that there were like three things you could choose when you logged on to this from the sharingourknowledge.org website. Jocelyn, what's your sense of how things went? Because you put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into organizing this.
So I was a co-MC with Virginia Oliver and Brooke Leslie, both of Wrangell. And, you know, the three-ring circus aspect of it, when you're the MC, really stands out. So it was busy, 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 hectic. Barbara Searles and I were sharing a hotel room, and she told me on the second night, I sat up and stood up out of my, still asleep, and started bossing people around. So, I mean, the role of the MC is to say, okay, can you get us some more napkins? Can you get us some more forks? Can you come over here now? Are you ready? No, you can't sing a song. No, you can't tell a story. No, you only have 15 more minutes. So it really is like being the conductor of a whole bunch of activities. As far as the conference went, I was just blown away by the caliber of the speakers. I mean, the keynote, a couple that really stood out for me were one by Deborah O'Gara, who talked about decolonizing the Alaska Native justice system. Another one by Miranda Velarde Lewis, who talked about, let me see if I can find the exact title of it.
In War and Peace. Our arts as historical documents.
And then we had Jim LaBelle, another one that got a thanks, Peter. Another one that got a huge amount of favorable feedback was one by Mita DeWitt on plants as plants as food and medicine, and also The Bombardment of Wrangell by Ronan Rooney. He has a podcast, Unlocking Wrangell's History. And he gave a great presentation on the bombardment of Wrangell in 1879, I think it was. But we had 40 sessions and various panels, lots of questions and answers. And we really learned a lot from a lot of people. It was just, you mentioned that there were three sessions going on at a time. And so you could have your pick of which session you wanted to attend.
You know, what I love about this, Jacqueline, is a lot of times you go to conferences and you do have to pick and choose what you're going to go to, what session. And so all of these live online. Do you think that all 40 of these sessions will be there for people to look at?
Oh, they're already there. Yeah. If you go to sharingourknowledge.org, you'll get a screen and you scroll down just half a page and it says live stream. And you click on that, and to the right, you'll see these boxes that show all the sessions. So, you can see all of these right now.
Tlingit spear throwing, bombardment of Wrangell, traditional healing, and of course, I do want to bring up Jim LaBelle's session, because before we go to Jim, I'd like to play an excerpt from his keynote speech. You know, his presentation, of course, was about the legacy of Alaska Native boarding schools as well as the historical trauma. But his keynote talked about his own experiences as a survival in Wrangell. And he talks about how kids arrived at the Wrangell Institute. And, of course, one of the first things that happened was that they had to take shower. So Jim gives his memories of that when he arrived at the Wrangell boarding school as a small child.
Wrangell, for some reason, as an institute, at least in the boys' dorm, were very fond of stripping us boys naked from the get-go. In fact, on our first day of arrival in the receiving room, we were told to, all of us that were there, told to get undressed until we were totally naked. And we were standing in front of other children we did not know. I did have my younger brother with me, so at least I knew him. But here we were, children as young as 5 years old, 6, 7, 8, 9, and on up, all standing on this concrete floor without any clothes on, and little children who had trouble understanding the commands were often at the consternation of matrons that would run over to the that little child and just literally ripped his clothing off. And that was a sign to other children that they better take off their clothes or experience what this other child received. And it was all done with a lot of silence. Most of the time our heads were down. We were afraid to look at people. We were afraid to be singled out in any way. And the very first thing they did was put us in a line, and we were to face a barber that was at the other end of the room. And I remember being toward the end of the line, and as we were getting closer to the barber, I saw the hair piling up around his feet, as all of the children were getting their haircuts shorn all the way to practically we were bald as children. The next thing we did was be sent up to the place to get a shower. And a lot of children never had seen bathing like this. You know, we have to think about many of the children that were at Wrangell came from tundra communities, where there were absolutely no mountains, no trees, and now they were hundreds and hundreds of miles away in an alien environment and being told to disrobe and bathe themselves when most of them did not know how to do that. In the shower, another matron would use another little child as an example by taking a floor brush with lye soap and scrubbing this little child until parts of his skin bled. And we watched this happening before us, and we decided, I think we're going to try to the best we can to clean ourselves.
All right. And one of the things we might say, too, is that some of this content from these workshops on the boarding school day devoted to boarding schools on Saturday might re-traumatize people who are victims of abuse. So be careful about that. Maybe get some support. And you might want to step away, too, from this next excerpt from Jim's keynote that I want to play. It's about what happened to the children at bedtime.
It didn't take very long, especially at night, and especially our first night. And for the very first maybe month or two when the lights went off, all it took was one little child. Before I go further, how many people have families, children? So you probably know what a five-year-old sounds like when their feelings get hurt. And you heard my friend on the video, Del Hayward, talking about that static breathing. Well, all it took was one little child to start crying in his bed at night, calling out for his mom. And then other children started crying in the darkness as well. And it just caught on and on and on. And pretty soon the entire little boy's dorm was kind of wailing into the night. We were all crying for our parents, all for our mothers, and for our loved ones, or maybe our uppas and ummas. And we woke up the next morning, and we had cried ourselves to sleep, and we could barely open our eyes. They had crusted shut from all of the tears. And that repeated itself day in and day out, night in and night out for many weeks. And I think we know as families, as parents, when a little child cries, it really wants to be loved. It wants to be held. It wants to be told that everything is okay. But nothing of that sort happened at Rangel Institute.
And that was from Jim LaBelle's keynote speech last Saturday at the Sharing Our Knowledge Conference in Rangel. Jim, your keynote was followed by a panel discussion and some other sessions. And, of course, these will all be online. How do you think that these sessions might be helpful to people to watch?
Well, I think that over the years that I've taught classes about the boarding school era, I was met with some skepticism by students who never really believed that we had, you know, experienced these kind of things, and as well as adults. Other just everyday people, if they happen to come into contact with one of my stories or discussions about that, they were reluctant to acknowledge that this is what happened to us. So any opportunity that your listening public can go to Sharing Our Knowledge, don't just listen to me, but listen to all the other presentations around boarding school, including Miranda, who I believe did a wonderful, wonderful job.
And tell us a little bit about Miranda, what, you know, who she is, what's her last name, and what she does.
Well, I think Jacqueline would be better able to do that. I don't know her other than hearing her presentation for the first time.
Yeah, that was Miranda Bilardi Lewis, who's a professor at the University of Washington, and her PhD dissertation was on art and healing, and she's been the curator of some museum exhibits on art, and art as being healing both for the artist and for the viewer. And so she showed slides of various pieces of art and explained how they expressed the experience of being colonized. And I think one of the reasons why we need to learn about our past is because, you know, this only happened to Native children. Non-Native children were not sent to boarding schools. They went to territorial schools. This was just a pure expression of racism and colonization. And to the extent that we're still, that we have unconscious biases and that we're racist, all of that is harmful to us as well as to the others, the people we view as others, be they people of color or, you know, gay, lesbian, or people of other ethnicities, people, you know, recent immigrants, all that, all those kinds of categories of people, groups of people that we might see as being different from ourselves and people who need to be treated differently. All of that is kind of detracting from our human experience. And so I think learning about it is one of the first steps to overcoming it. And that's the other thing I would say about this is that we had a beautiful, beautiful healing ceremony. And Jim might want to talk about that.
Yes, indeed. One of the features of my presentations over the years, I was included a gauntlet, and this is again another shaming and punishment tool that Rangel used to enforce speaking English only, and if you didn't, or if you got in trouble for other reasons, they had reserved one evening, usually an afternoon or a late afternoon on a Saturday, to have this little spectacle called the gauntlet, where again, children were forced to disrobe and walk or run up and down this gauntlet while other children were being ordered to use their belts on us. The gauntlet that was ceremonial at the end of Saturday was just really a just totally reverse it. Bob Sam and other people from Rangel used another process where this was really a gauntlet of love and affection and affirmation. And I walked down this line of people from on both sides of this long aisle from the school leading down to the beach, the old school. And I just never felt more, I don't know, I was so overwhelmed by that.
Really good moment for me as well. I think I'm a bit jaded with some of this. You know, things surrounding the conference, I've seen it all, done it all, but I haven't. And this was one example because the people were lined up facing each other, two very long lines, and Jim and others who had been boarding school victims walked down it, and everyone hugged them and gave them flowers. And it was a beautiful day, too. It was just altogether a wonderful experience. And I think Jocelyn probably had a similar reaction to it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it helped that, I mean, symbolically or literally, Jim was walking away from the site of the old school. So symbolically, he was walking away from that hurt and pain. and he was walking towards the setting sun and the beach. And I mean, it just, you know, it was one of those things where everything came together. We were having beautiful weather. It was really mild. We had hot coffee for people to drink, and there was a fire in a fireplace, and there were chairs so everybody could sit if they needed to. And then we had the gauntlet, and we had some songs and dances. It was really a beautiful, beautiful experience.
And instead of whips and belts, there were flowers and hugs. How did that help you, Jim? Because you spent all your life recovering from the Wrangell boarding school experience.
Well, I think, like in life, we don't get all of our healing done at once or at one time, but over time. And I certainly have had my share of healing over the years, as much as I've been at venues and telling the story. But I have to say that this last time was so overwhelmingly, I took it to heart. It's kind of like my experience being a Vietnam era veteran, and also having our brother killed in Vietnam. When we went home, we were basically ignored, if not spat on or yelled at. And we never had a welcoming home in the sense that other wars did. And it's kind of like this boarding school thing. It was kind of like, a welcoming home to a really loving family.
Well, in case people have just joined us, we've been talking about the Sharing Our Knowledge conference that was in Wrangell last week. And of course, Saturday, the whole day was devoted to the Native boarding school experience. And we've been letting people know that they can go to sharingourknowledge.org and find all of these sessions. But Jacqueline, as far as the outdoor healing ceremony that sort of culminated all of the day's discussions about Native boarding schools, now that will not be online right now. Can you tell us how we might eventually be able to watch this ceremony?
Well, we hired a great filmmaker, Sarah Betcher, and she recorded it. And Peter, can you tell us the schedule for the production, the post-production on that?
Yes. In fact, we just got a call from Wrangell Cooperative Association, which is the federally recognized tribe for Wrangell. And they want us to produce one of the sessions that was done at the Chief Sheikh's house. But we will be getting to that, the boarding school experience, the thing, what happened outside of the conference, which Jim was talking about, the gauntlet of love and healing. We will produce something. I can't say exactly when it'll be in the next few months, but we'll let it be known, and perhaps we can have another session on K2 about that.
You know, the thing I think it is so wonderful about this whole conference that you had is you've got all those sessions online for people to watch. So while they're waiting for this, they can go look at those other sessions that were at your conference.
And this is an opportunity for me to give a shout out to the K2 crew who we hired to come down to Wrangell with us. It was fabulous what they did. To me, sitting in one of the presentation rooms with a Zoom presentation and watching it on my cell phone come on live, a live stream from Wrangell, anyone in the world could watch it. And we were getting several, the presentation I was watching at that time was from Oxford, England. And we had one from Russia and on. But at one point, when they first came on, I was just kind of dazzled. Then I realized something was wrong, and I immediately texted Miko Wilson, who's your production chief, and he said, oh, yeah, there was a little problem, and he fixed it right away, and it was like, I was thinking, well, that's no melodrama Miko.
You know, it really does bring into sharp focus the potential for sharing knowledge these days. It's, you know, from the early conferences, you know, would you have even imagined having something like this?
Oh, God. Well, I go back to the beta cam days. So this is, like I said, I was just dazzled. And it's way above my head now. I don't really know how Miko does the magic. But there it was online, live stream, and fabulous.
And for people that don't know, video Betacam is kind of one of those old cameras. So you had to, you know, videotape these on tape, and it was a while before anybody got to share these experiences. Yeah. Well, in wrapping things up, Jacqueline, can you tell us, you know, about what you hope people will do with all the videos they can find online, how they might use them?
Well, I hope that people will use them as to educate themselves and others. I mean, you know, there are people who spend years studying certain topics. So Steve Brown comes to mind. He studied art and totem, including totem poles from Wrangell. He had hundreds of slides of objects that he'd taken pictures of in various repositories around the world, and he compared them and kind of said, you know, look at the eyes on this one, how there's a little eyelid around it, and the shape of the ovoid, and how it forms a circle. And he used all these tiny identifiers to draw a line between certain objects and totem poles in Wrangell. And you can, and now with this, by watching the video that he of his presentation, you can find out that. What I got from that was how to even look at a piece of art and understand it and appreciate it. So of Tlingit art. So anyway, I think it's just a valuable, wonderful, interesting resource, and I hope people enjoy it.
I want to give you one figure before we sign off, and that is, I tallied the number of views we got on the live stream, and it was 1,800. So 1,800 views, not necessarily individuals, but probably close to 500 people watched at one time or another.
And who knows? You know, this thing has potential to draw a lot more views as people revisit the conference.
Certainly encourage people to go to sharingourknowledge.org and check it out.
All right. I want to thank the three of you for being here with us today to kind of give us a heads up on the potential to keep learning, to keep sharing the knowledge. Jacqueline Estes, who was one of the organizers, also a journalist who is a correspondent for Indian Country Today. And we also have Peter Metcalf, who has brought the Sharing Our Knowledge Conference to people over the years. And we also have Jim LaBelle, who is a boarding school survivor. And really, his day was kind of one of the big days at this gathering. You want to hear his panel discussion on Native boarding schools, as well as, you know, maybe it'll be timely, too, as we come up to Orange Shirt Day, which is just around the corner, which looks at the boarding school experience in both Canada and across the United States. So thank you, all of you, for being here with us today.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Ganesh
Cheesh. Thank you.
And Guyana, Jim, thank you for just being who you are and being able to share your memories so well. And such a personal cost. They're so painful, but thank you for being brave to do that.